want to make a little comment before Art comes and brings his message. I was thinking about this earlier today, and we are thankful for the Cron family, not just Art, but for the service through the generations. Gerald, his dad, is pastoring a church up by Warroad, and his brother-in-law, Bruce, was here last Sunday preaching to us, and his son-in-law is serving Emmanuel Baptist out here, and he's also filling in at Norland each Sunday morning. So we're thankful. And, oh, he also created the country corn maze. I won't say created, there's only one creator, but he fashioned it, or fashions it every year. So thank you for being willing to bring the message this morning, and we pray the Lord's anointing upon you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the kind introduction and being able to be here. I'm happy to be here, and this church has benefited me a lot over the years. If you go back a few years, there was one radio station in the county, and this church sponsored the Lutheran Gospel Hour on there, and I remember listening to R. Norheim preach and enjoyed him, and of course, I enjoyed hearing Herbert Franz preach as well a lot. Some great men of God over the years, and I could certainly still sing the song that R. Norheim always closed with, "Oh, will you give heed to this message today?" And enjoyed those things over the years. And of course, I like your signs out along the road too. Those are nice things for the community. Before we get looking in God's Word, why don't we just bow together one more time. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be here and share, and thank you for your Word and fellowship that we can have as brothers in you. I pray that you would just guide us as we look at things and strengthen and encourage our hearts through it. In your name, amen. In Europe, in the time between the wars, there got to be some really powerful thinking on a certain theological direction. And that had to go with that the world is going to get better and better, and we're going to be able to bring in the kingdom. You see, the war to end all wars had just happened. Missionary outreach was exploding. People were going all over the world sharing the gospel. And there was some people there. There was this, a little likeness that Jesus had mentioned. They mentioned that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman spread in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And they said, oh, we're going to bring in the kingdom. The world is going to get better and better. And the things were really thriving a lot in Europe, the church in a spiritual sense. And then World War II hit. And at the end of World War II, what happened to the church in Europe and England and over in that area? It emptied. They have beautiful big buildings. Nobody at all in them, hardly. They're empty, they're huge, because it actually came a little bit from some poor theology that sounded really good, right? You know, isn't that a great idea that we can bring in the kingdom, get things better and better, and until we're all ready for the Lord to come? But that's not the way it's going to be. Even though it sounded good, there was a big error, and it left a lot of people disillusioned and thinking wrong. You see, Jesus also talked about things being real bad at the end. And what did he say it was going to be like? Whose days did he compare it to when he was going to be coming back again? He said, compared to the Lot's days and to Noah's days. And what was the world like in those places in those times? It was wicked. It was ungodly. It was bad. And of course, Jesus himself in another time mentioned that when the Son of Man cometh, he said, shall he find faith on the earth? And the implication was not much. It wasn't going to be a great and big time when judgment comes with the tribulation and the end time things happening. We're going to pick up actually a little bit in 2 Timothy, though, and just read a passage that should have helped alleviate that. Now, I'm not sure exactly the right understanding of what Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven being like unto leaven, right? Maybe that's talking about when it gets into somebody's heart and it starts to grow and it fills their whole life. That's what it should be. But it wasn't talking about bringing in the kingdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he starts off saying, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Wow, what a list of bad things coming, right? And what does it say? It says in the last days. And of course, last days can be, and of course, with this, it could be anything starting with after the time of Christ, right? We are in the last time before the time of the end. And what does it say? People are going to be, it says they'll be lovers of their own selves. Self-centered people. Do you know what? What kind of world do we live in? That's become, from the days of looking out for number one mentality that started quite some time back, it's become very normal and natural and acceptable to be just self-centered, and that's kind of what people are expected almost to be now, instead of being God-centered and caring about others. And of course, and it says covetous. Sometimes we think, when you look at through the Bible history, I feel like I'm getting a lot of, I'm going to lower it down a little more. Okay. Back to that. Oh, yeah. When you look at the prophets, one of the things that people, the nation of Israel and people always got in trouble for was idolatry, right? And they would worship idols and they'd have statues and images and all these things that they would worship and have as little idols, right? And things. And it's quite easy to think, that was sure stupid. Why would you bow down to some stone or some little thing that and worship something other than the creator of the universe? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you think this little rock or piece of gold or whatever it was could do anything for you? Why would you believe that statue has any power? And yet, here it, in another place in, I think it's in Colossians, where it talks about covetousness. And what does it say, covetousness? It says, in covetousness, which is idolatry. We don't do it thinking we have this little statue that does things, but we think other things do. We think, if I just had this thing. And we covet other things, and people covet other people's trucks and other people's toys and other people's things. They're thinking, that will make me happy, that will help me, that will be good for me. And the Bible tells us that covetousness is the same as idolatry. It's like worshiping that idol. It's just a little it's a different thing that you think better of, and we think we're smarter than they were, but not necessarily, because people make the same mistakes. It says they're going to be covetous, boasters, always bragging and proud, thinking they're good on their own. You know, that's one thing. There's any of these sins, right? Everybody is tempted, and everybody probably has some struggles in, and nobody is perfect. We all have failures in those things. But this becomes the rule of life and things that people are saying is fine and acceptable. There's quite a difference in saying, I'm against this, but I struggle with it, and it's wrong, right? And I agree it's wrong. To saying, this is all fine. I'm good with any. This is all, but I don't care about it. I'm doing this. There's quite a difference in that. One is saying, agreeing with God and saying, what God says is wrong is wrong. Another is saying, oh, I'll make my own choices and do whatever I want and do wrong. And that's the way a lot of people have become and are going to be. And we know that's going to happen. There was a time when it could have been pretty easy to think that things were going good because when that teaching in America was not near so strong. Now, there was a little bit of it, right? But not so much. There was a little bit of it. But what happened after World War II in America? The church grew and exploded and was doing great. In the 50s, there was times where they figured that 83% of Americans were faithful church attenders. 83%. Is that anything like today? I don't think so. It's like, if you know, it's a very small fraction of that. But sometimes people, things aren't going to be good and aren't going to be thriving everywhere. And now it seems like the world as a whole is going more and more the same direction where there's not necessarily a godly place left. But here it tells about these things that are going to happen and how these people are going to be. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. People use the Lord's name in vain so freely today. It's almost unbelievable. When years back people know, oh, shh, don't say that. That's, you know, don't, that's wrong. People knew it was wrong. Today sometimes people swear, use the Lord's name in vain, don't even know it. But you know what? If a person speaks up for the Lord at all, it's a very helpful thing. And God can use it. Let me tell you just about two little incidents that happened that the Lord used of something I was involved with. One time I was at a gun shop, and the guy was cursing and swearing, using the Lord's name in vain quite a bit. And when I went to go, I said, here, I'd like to leave you a gospel tract, right? And the gospel tract was called You Have God's Word on It. He says, oh, I don't believe in God. I said, you know, that's really strange, because you sure use his name quite a bit. And he said, oh, he said, I'm sorry, I know that's wrong. I picked it up in the army. I shouldn't be doing it. I know. And he started making this long apology to me. Well, if he doesn't believe in God, what's he apologizing about? God poked him in the heart and said, you know it's wrong. And he did. And I hope he read it. That's all I think I ever saw that man. And then there was another guy when I was doing some part-time temporary in winters at Marvin's. And it was a guy I'd been working with and trying to be friendly to and witness to a little bit. But he had a little bit of a temper, right? And when something went bad for him, he'd curse and swear and use the Lord's name in vain. And it was pretty bad with that at times. And so I thought, this man, he was quite a bit older than me, right? This would have been when I was 30-ish and he was probably 60-ish. And so I knew he grew up in the time when almost everybody was in church and he was around that. And so one time after he was all calm and everything was going good, I said, say, you ever go to church growing up or anything? He said, oh, yeah, I went to church. He said, I went there a bunch. He said, I lost a lot of religion when I was out guiding and working with the natives and doing a bunch of stuff like that. Yeah, I said, I can tell by sometimes the way you talk. And he went into like a sorry mode. He said, oh, he says, I know I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And he got convicted about it just through little comment. And sometimes just making a little comment, saying a little something for the Lord, God can use it. Because you know what? God still convicts people. People still know in their hearts that sin is wrong. They might pretend and act like God doesn't exist. They might act like it doesn't matter. But you know what? In their heart, they know differently. Because God gave people a conscience. And oh yes, it can be seared and it can be trampled and it can be run over. But it's still there. And it can be used. Make sure you speak for the Lord. People are going to be that way, though. There's going to be problems like that. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't still be rescuing them. We know that the ship of this world is going down. Is it going to be good at the end? No, it's not. It's going to be like the days of Noah, when God says, enough is enough. Judgment is coming. We don't know exactly the time frame. When God said that, he told Noah to build the ark, and he had 120 years. When he said it on Sodom, he said, get out of that city because tomorrow it's happening. And it came. And those are the two examples that Jesus had used of what the date time was going to be like. And so what other traits are we going to see? Okay, it says they will be blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And no comment is needed about that. That's so common in our day. People don't care what their parents think a lot of times. They should. They should always seek that. We should always honor our parents. Sometimes because of legal things, right, people think, oh, 18, don't have to listen anymore. Bad idea. Does God have the term 18 in there when it says, honor thy father and mother until you hit 18 and you're out of it? No, God has nothing to say like that. That applies to all the time. We should seek to honor our parents all the time and care about what they think. And though it's not the same situation after you're married and after things do change with some age, but it's not thrown out. It still should be there and should be part of our lives in honoring them. But these people, of course, will be disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Of course, what should we as believers be? We should always be grateful. He tells us in everything, give thanks. But the world's not going to be that way. They're going to be unthankful. They're going to be unholy. What does God tell us to be? He tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. We should seek to live as holy and as godly of lives as we can and put out the garbage. The world's not going to be that way, but we're not supposed to follow the world. We're following the Lord. He lists some more things. He says, without natural affection, truce breakers, they don't have the natural love that God would expect them to have. They break agreements. And it says false accusers. And don't we see that in our day? It seems to get more and more people are making false accusations all the time against people and things. One of the dumbest ones that I ever would have heard of, right, is, of course, you guys know enough to history to know that who is the real enemy of the communist, right? It's businessmen, right? People that do, you know, have private businessmen. They're like the enemy of communism because that's, you know, they want state control of everything. And yet for probably a year and actually more, but they made a huge deal about accusing Trump of colluding with Russia. What? He is a businessman through and through, right? And what are the Russians? Those are the guys that wherever they took over, especially East Germany, Eastern Europe and all that, what did they do with the guy? Who did they get rid of in the town? The businessmen. Those are the ones they'd take out to the woods and wouldn't come back with. And that's what, I mean, they just hate them. That's what they do. Who would believe such a lie? But it doesn't matter. They're quite glad to falsely accuse. And it's a thing of our day. Of course, and it uses the word incontinent, means without self-control, fierce, says despisers of those that are good. They don't like people that are good. Sometimes our world, a lot of the ungodly of it, they don't like that. They despise those that are good. They're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Sometimes they even claim to be religious, right, and have some godly thing, but it's nothing. They deny it, and they turn away from it. And it paints a pretty tough picture here of what's going on. It goes on telling about some more things about them. That's the kind that creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers' lusts. They're immoral. It says they ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now who is Jannes and Jambres? You know, I'm not 100% sure, but as near as I can tell, a lot of people have figured that that was the Pharaoh's musicians that came up against Moses when he was showing the miracles, and they were trying to say, hey, we can do this with demonic power. We can match these things. These people, they're against God. They're like those people. And but what happens, it says, they shall proceed no further. Verse 9 says, for their folly shall be made manifest as to all men, as theirs also was. Judgment is coming, and one day God's going to say, that's it. And time's going to come to an end. But what does he say to Timothy? He says to Timothy, now after he tells about all these bad things that are happening, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He tells him, you know what, Timothy, you've known what's going on. First off, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's good, solid biblical teaching. It's important to have keep good, solid biblical teaching and understand the thing. That's where I love that side, as I was mentioning, read your Bible, prevent truth decay. As a person reads their Bible and takes time going through it, what happens? If there's an error creeping in, you see it. A lot of times as you read through the Bible, and I hope you get through your Bible pretty regular. I don't know how often. Some people, it's pretty common for believers to read through every year. I met one guy who had made a habit for a little while of reading through it every month. And I thought, whoa, that's really reading. That's putting it right through now. But yeah, a person should take time to be going through it. Even if you don't get through it, you know, quite every year, everybody should be, as believers, should be taking time to read your Bible, to get through it, to read, whether it be a chapter or two or more a day, to make through it, through the Bible in a year. You have to do 3 chapters or a little more a day on average, and gets you through it in a year. And having good doctrine, understanding what it says. Then he lists manner of life. Not only did he believe right, having the right doctrine, he lived right. He lived committed to the Lord, saying, what do you want me to do, Lord? And doing it, and obeying what he knew was right. He had purpose. He lists the next thing is his purpose. He had a purpose to live for God, to get people saved, to honor him as good as he could. You know, there's a lot of people in our day without purpose, and it's because they're not living for their Maker. But if you're going to live for God, what does that do? It gives you purpose. It gives you meaning. And it's not just something that's going to pass away. If you're living just for things, right, what's going to happen with things? Well, they're going to burn up. They're going to rust. They're going to get broke. They're going to get stolen. If you're just living to acquire things, you're going to be disappointed. But if you have a purpose of living for God and honoring Him and serving Him, that purpose doesn't ever go away. And it gives a life purpose, not, oh, I want to get rich and then retire and then live a life of ease and luxury. Like, that's not a good purpose. That's, your health could mess that up like that. And, oh. But if you have a purpose of living for God and honoring Him and bringing as many people to Him as you can and doing, having eternal purpose, eternal values, that lasts. And of course, Paul had that. He's telling Timothy how he was and the things he had. He talked about he knew his doctrine, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, how he was just committed to the Lord, trusting God no matter what happened. He lists his long-suffering, being willing to take problems and still love people. Next word, charity. True love, caring about people, and his patience. And not only did he have those great things and great qualities that we're listening there, then it goes on. It lists some things that don't sound quite so nice. His persecutions, his afflictions. And he said, Timothy, you've known all these things that came unto me at Antioch and Iconium. At Lystra, it says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That scares some people, but you know what? It is nothing to be worried about. Because if you have a purpose of living for God and honoring Him, if things come good or things come bad, what happens in this life is not all there is. Now, oftentimes in this life, God, there's a lot of sowing and reaping that happens in this life, both good and bad. But if a person is, if a person is living for God, even if things come, Paul didn't seem to make too big a deal of it, right? And he was probably persecuted worse than anybody we know of. He was beaten, whipped, and jailed, and had all kinds of false things on him, and he had it pretty tough. And he refers to it as not much, because he was living for God, and his purpose overcame that. He was purposed to get people saved, and through that, a lot of people did. He was purposed to honor God, and God got honored through that. And so, when he talks about it, and one time in Romans, he says, for our light affliction, like, no big deal. Light, it's not too bad. Light, Paul, you got pounded with, you got stoned, you got rocks thrown at you, you got hit. That was not the end of it, because our comfort is not the biggest thing in this life. Living for God and having purpose and honoring Him is, and things are going to happen. But what does he say? Oh yeah, and then he gives another warning to that people. It says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And of course, we see that all over. There's all kinds of people. They've gotten worse and worse. Are they deceived? They sure are. Do they deceive? Oh yeah, they do. God's word always applies. Do you know that? It's always true, and it knows exactly. When it was written, God knew exactly what was going to happen today. And it applies today. And we know that's going to happen. He says, evil men, they're going to get worse, and they're going to deceive and be deceived. But that's not doesn't need to be our focus. Next verse says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. When you see all these other things going on and all the problems, do we get distressed? No. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue on in what you know. Continue on. Now, does that change what Jesus did for us? It doesn't change it at all. If nobody else you knew was living for God at all, shouldn't change a thing. You continue. You purpose and say, I'm going to continue in the things that I know. We should go on. And here it says, in that verse, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing they're true. It says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. When you know, even when other people walk away, and sometimes it's rather distressing when you see somebody that you think they should have known. Why did they turn away? Sometimes I know a guy that now he grew up in church, and now they tell me he's an atheist. What is going on? It's like, did he not know? I don't know what's going on with some of that. But that doesn't mean we need to change. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then what does it say? It concludes the chapter with Timothy laying some real good foundation things. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here we see the world's going bad. It's going to be bad. We know that's going to happen, but that doesn't have to change us any. It shouldn't. In fact, it shouldn't. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. And how was he assured of those things? Well, it talks about in the next. He says he knew the Holy Scriptures. He knew what was right. He knew what God thought about things. The world has all kinds of things they think about things, right? Does that make any of them right? Not at all. What God says about things, that's what's right. If a person has certain attitudes about things, well, our attitudes, they better be checked out with Scripture if we're going to say that's right. Because God has a big manual. Kind of reminds me somewhat of a instruction manual for things, right? You ever get a complicated thing where you actually had to read the manual? I actually was recently, I did a little work and was doing some stuff with garage doors, right? That were, it was a smart garage door, right? And I'm not too smart about those things, so I had to read the manual a lot. And I had to read the, keep going back to it. And then, oh yeah, to program this, you had to program this. And I had to keep going back to the manual, or I wasn't going to get that thing right. And I was helping a guy out with it, and I needed to make it work. But I didn't know how it was supposed to work quite right. But there's a manual that knew, and I had to keep going back to it. And with all of life, we've got a manual that knows exactly what applies to every topic, to every situation. There's not a topic you can that can come up where you can't find guidance from God's Word on it. God's Word knows the truth on everything, and it applies. And it applies to all of life so that we don't have to be drug along. And when the world goes bad and is going bad, we don't have to be torn away by it. We continue in the things that we've learned, that the things that we know. God's Word is always true. It always applies. Jesus is coming again, and one day we're going to meet Him, and people ought to be ready to meet Him. And if the ship is going down, we might as well rescue who we can and keep be secure and say, hey, it's okay. Things are, we know what's going to happen because the book knows, because we can know what it says. And what's for us, as we get going in the new year, we continue. We're going to walk with God come what may. And honor Him and have purpose. Is the world going to be bad? It is. There's going to be a lot of ungodliness, but that's okay. Nobody's getting by with anything. Nobody's sneaking by. Is fraud going to be caught? Oh yeah. Did anybody sneak one over on God? Nobody snuck one over on God. Nobody's getting by. Nobody's sneaking things around. God knows what's going on. And as His people, what do? We know those things are going to happen. We know the truth. And we continue in what we know in God's Word. We continue on in it. And as we walk in that, what happens? We have purpose. We have joy. We have comfort. Because we know the One who made us. And we're going to be with Him one of these days. And we can go on and live for Him. And can we rejoice in problems? We can. Are we going to have it as bad as Paul? Probably not, right? And yet, he could be happy and joyful and say, rejoice in everything and be thankful. And the world might think we're weird, and that's okay. Because if you're right with your Maker, what does it matter what the ungodly world thinks? Nothing. What does matter what God thinks. And we should be thankful, and when we walk with Him, we can have joy and peace and comfort and live for Him. Continue in the things you've learned. While we bow for prayer. Lord, I thank You for Your Word that guides us. And though we know problems are coming and we know things aren't always going to be like we like to see, we thank You that we can trust You in everything, that we can just continue in following You. Help us to not be distracted by the world and the ungodliness, but just focus on following You and doing what You want, knowing we're right with You. Help us to help rescue others as we can. And I ask these things in Your name. Amen.
Thank you, Art. So you're saying when all else fails, read the directions? Thank you. Our closing hymn, turn to page number 554 in times like these. Page 554.